This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The Over the Rhine International Film Festival presented by LAD returns in July in a variety of venues. Organizers tout the event as the premier diversity festival in the United States, led by the disability community. Now in its fourth year, the festival received more than 100 entries from around the globe. Its goal is to encourage conversation about diversity, along with engagement and action through film. Joining me to talk about the film festival are film critic and Over the Rhine International Film Festival artistic director, T.T. Stern-Enzi. Welcome, T.T.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. Cincinnati-based writer, director, comedian, and filmmaker David Chimisoro. Thanks for being here, David.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
And director of strategic operations for Living Arrangements for the Developmentally Disabled, or LAD, Jason Harris. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you all here. If you have questions or comments, give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. T.T., I'd like to start with you. Tell us about the history of the film festival and what sets it apart from others across the country.
Okay. Well, as you mentioned, we are heading into our fourth year of the Over the Rhine International Film Festival. Before that, there were actually four iterations of it, which was Cincinnati Real Abilities. And again, the focus at that point, which LAD organized that and sort of set that up, was the focus on disability. So it was the opportunity to see stories about the disability community, have subjects and filmmakers come in to really discuss those stories and expose the audience here to a side of diversity that we didn't ordinarily get to see. So as a matter of fact, it was interesting for me at that phase because I was a film critic and I was covering the festival for CityBeat at that point. So I had the opportunity to get to learn a little bit about what LAD was doing and how the festival was going. And when they reached out to me in 2017, when they were thinking about rebranding and kind of expanding the focus, I took it as just a great opportunity because, again, I've been going to festivals for probably close to 20 years all over the world. And there wasn't necessarily a festival that felt like it was doing exactly what LAD wanted to do with this rebranding, which was, again, finding a way to take disability and incorporate it into that larger industry-wide conversation that was going on about diversity, equity, and inclusion. So, like I said, I jumped at the chance for that. And it's been a really exciting journey that we've been on so far. And again, I can't wait till we get to July 7th through the 10th this year for audiences to have the chance to come out and see what we've come up with for this year.
Yeah, we'll be there before we know it. July is on. It's on our heels right now. I mentioned that you had more than 100 films submitted. So how do you go about choosing which are part of the festival?
Yeah, we have a sort of a two-pronged approach to that. Again, we do get those submissions, which we use a site, Film Freeway, that filmmakers all over the world are used to using when they're applying or submitting their films for festivals. We have a programming team that actually watches all of those films, and then we sit down and sort of go through what we feel like were the best titles that we got in from all over the world. And then we also have a separate second track, if you will, where we are curating titles, which gives us the opportunity to go either in person or virtually now to other festivals like Sundance, South by Southwest, find some titles that maybe fill in some gaps in ways and areas that we didn't necessarily get through that submission process. So it's been a really great opportunity to have both of those avenues because, again, we can reach filmmakers that we would never have been able to reach before through the submission process, and then we can kind of hone in and in some ways work with a particular distributor, if you will. Like we've had a really great relationship with Apple. We played CODA last year. We were one of only two festivals in the country that had the opportunity to play CODA last year. So that sort of started a relationship with us. And we have a film this year from Apple, Cha-Cha Real Smooth, and we'll be bringing in one of the stars of that film in support of that. So it's, again, like I said, that two-pronged approach gives us the best opportunity to really open those stories up and open the opportunities up for audiences here to have the opportunity to come in and not only see the films, but again, meet filmmakers, meet some other people that are sitting in those screenings with them, having that same experience and have the opportunity to talk about what they're seeing and hopefully then carry that out into the world and their lives and their communities once they leave.
Yeah. CODA sure worked out well for you last year.
Yes, it did. And yeah. It's funny. I've been, there's a little bit of a story that I tell everyone along the way. Like that was an amazing experience for us. We will probably never be able to replicate that again. It was a great, fortunate opportunity. And I have to admit, as a critic and also as an artistic director, I followed that film through the award season just like everyone else. And every win that it picked up felt like a win for us.
I bet. So, Jason, can you talk to us about the importance of the festival being led by the disability community?
Yeah, as an autistic person myself, and as somebody who is part who watches media, I think, you know, so many times we see disability outside these conversations of diversity, and there tends to be a lot of tropes around disability that don't always get talked about, but as well, disability being talked about in part of multiple diversities, which disability tends to be white and male in storytelling, and there tends to be a couple different. So disability community in conjunction with other communities being able to choose what stories they want to be able to be told about them and represent the breadth of diversity within the community is really important.
Yeah. And I think there have been conversations in recent years, over many years, but especially in recent years about kind of stereotypical portrayals of Black people in film or television. But it sounds like you're saying that happens with people in the disability community too, for sure, right?
Yeah, it tends to happen in every community. And we tend to talk about these sort of things in silos of this is the way that we talk about women in media. This is the way that we talk about, you know, Black people in media or Arabic people, and sometimes disability gets included. And while there's been more talks about it, I think what the hope is that we're realizing that there's a lot of different stories and there's a lot of different things. So being able to have an intersectional sort of film festival that has disability as one of its roots, because disability is one of the things that goes throughout history and time, and there's a lot of different ways that you can and thread it, just like other histories, is important to having these opening up to having broader, more authentic storytelling across the board that represents people. Because even as an autistic person, they're starting to get some better, but that doesn't mean that it's becoming less wider, that other autistic people or other people with disabilities are not seeing themselves on screen. And that's important to be able to see yourself on screen. It's also important in a time, especially in times of polarization, where we see others who we might not always readily see and be able to understand their stories as well and be able to learn from that and sort of see that people aren't so different, but it's also okay that they're different.
Mm. David, talk with us about your film and what it means to you to have it be part of this festival.
So Our Baby Knows is a film that I wrote in 2020, particularly on a very specific night where the story of the film is a young father basically having to explain a harsh reality to his son for the very first time and using moments of triumph to soften the blow for himself and for his son. And the moments are the Cleveland Cavaliers coming back from 3-1 in 2016 and The Rock winning his first WWE Undisputed Championship. And the story is particularly centered around this kind of first conversation of race, because that is kind mm-hmm. of like a thing that happens in Black households. And I wanted to, it's just in the process of making that film, it was like, how do we create an experience and a story that rings true almost universally, even though that's a very difficult thing to do, but also imparts this very delicate information with a sense of gentleness that still inspires hope and that keeps someone's individually intact. And how do we do that in 12 minutes? So that was the task of the film. And but what it feels like for me to be a part of this festival is like I've wanted to be a filmmaker since I was in the ninth grade. Like I went to a film camp when I was like, yeah, just a ninth grader, and I decided this is exactly what I want to do. And with the naivety of like a teenage kid, you're like, you don't think about all of the quote unquote impossibilities. I was like, this is the thing. So to be a part of this festival is just like, all right, we did it. And like, and we're going to continue to get to do it like this. It kind of feels unreal, to be honest, because I always wanted to do it. But there's like this, there's always like a thing, especially when you're trying to kind of go your own route, particularly in the world of filmmaking, where you're going to look a little crazy for a while. So it feels like not even just vindication, because that feels defensive, but it feels just like, yeah, we did it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Sounds like a victory.
It sounds like a victory. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and it sounds to me like your film, if I'm understanding correctly, deals with this very difficult, complicated, serious subject, but also infuses kind of joy and celebration. And it's got the complexities that every human goes through. Mm-hmm. How important was it to you to bring all that into the film?
So it was very important. It was not even just very important. It was the utmost important thing, because the human experience is not just one thing. Mm-hmm. We receive very, very difficult information all the time. And it's very, very, and it's very much okay to lament when we receive information that is that heavy, but still leaving room for joy and saying, hey, 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 the thing that still affirms our foundation are the things like love, joy, kindness, and peace, so that these moments that are defeats aren't quite so like so fine, so infinite, or it feels like so. It doesn't have to be the only story, and that doesn't have to be the thing that defines us, even though it is a very, very, very real thing. I wanted to make a fun race movie, but it was like, it's like a thing of just like, as a Black person, my life isn't just that thing. There's so much joy and peace. And like, I have amazing friends and I live a pretty awesome life. I have a great family. So that felt like the most important thing, because this was in my own way saying, yes, this is a very real, story. And, this is a very real reality within I live, but my own personal way of saying, I'm not going to let this be the only thing that defines me, even though everything around me says that can be the thing that defines me. It was like, nah, there can be a different story. I think there can be a plot twist with my personal life, and particularly there can be a plot twist in how we approach this very, very serious conversation so we can get to a place that feels hopeful. Yeah. So that's why that was important to me.
Sure. No human is one-dimensional. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So Titi, that what is that something that you look for as the you know, artistic director of this film festival, these multidimensional productions that don't just focus on disability or race or whatever piece of diversity we're talking about? Are you looking for these more kind of fully fleshed out stories?
We are. And again, it's fascinating to me to have the opportunity to sit with these guys and hear them talk about it, because, you know, Jason mentioned the intersectionality of it all. And again, that is a really fundamental piece of the festival, and again, our perspective on it. It's because as we are bringing different groups together and having their stories, you know, kind of be told, they're individual stories. But what happens is, as you look at those individuals, they are multifaceted people. Mm-hmm. So obviously that is going to come into play, which means that hopefully the audience will come in and see this multifaceted person and their experience, and then have a chance to say, well, okay, well, there are parts of this experience that I can see a reflection of myself in, and there are parts that I'm not as familiar with, but I want to find out more about it. And then when I go to David, listening to him talk about his film is great, and I'm hoping everyone was paying attention to that. But you need to come see his film, mm-hmm. because the way that story unfolds for you on the screen is that's where the real power is. And that's what, as programmers, we were really looking for. We wanted to find not just a great idea, but we wanted to have that great moment on screen that touched us. Because if it touched us as programmers, our hope was that, again, by the time we choose it and it's there in the schedule and an audience decides to come in and see it, they're going to be touched and moved in the same way. So, yes, we are looking for those things. And it's sometimes hit or miss. You know, I'm a full-time critic. I've been a critic for over 20 years. I know my tastes don't necessarily always match up with everyone else's. But I think for this festival and with the programming team that I'm working with, we have all found ways to make sure that we're kind of checking each other. So that, again, if it doesn't work for someone, it's going to work for two or three other people in the room. And we know that, again, once you get an audience full of people in there, they're going to be touched. And then if we do our jobs correctly and we have, you know, filmmakers who are in or panelists who will be talking about that film afterward, that will kind of round out that experience. And that's something that you don't get when you're just sitting at home watching it on, you know, on your television, or if you go to the movies when something plays, you know, in your local multiplex. Not having those extra elements to kind of, you know, round out that experience, that's what festivals are for. Mm-hmm. So I'm always excited about the idea that, again, we're creating that kind of scenario and that dynamic for people to step in to experience something, see a reflection, hopefully, and then take that and be able to walk out into the world and say, okay, well, wait a minute, maybe there's something that I can do in my community, in my family, you know, in my workplace that, you know, will come out of what I've seen and hopefully make a difference. Mm.
And you've encouraged everyone to see David's film, which I'm sure David is grateful for.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. Please come watch my movie. I think it's pretty good. think so too. So,
yeah. T.T., are there other highlights that you would like to pull out? Other, you know, films that are highlights of the festival?
Sure. There are a couple. I'm really intrigued. We were, at the last minute, had the opportunity to bring in a film from a distributor, IFC, that I've been working with as a film critic for a while. Their film, Bad Acts, we're getting the chance to screen that before it actually opens nationwide in theaters.
Oh, wow.
And it's a fantastic story about a family in Bad Acts, Michigan, as a matter of fact, who are dealing with a lot of these issues, that we've been talking about, that looks at Michigan in basically 2018 through 2020. An immigrant family, multicultural, multiracial family, which has a family restaurant there, and their issues of going through COVID and dealing with all of the issues that the community had with their space, and again with their burgeoning kind of political awareness of what was going on in the country at that time as well. It's a fascinating story, but at the end of the day, it is a family story, and I want to make sure that people understand that there are all of these political issues that are part of that dynamic and that narrative, but at the end of the day, it is a love letter to a family. Mm-hmm. And I was moved to tears while watching that film, and I'm hoping that when people come to see it, they will be moved in much the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason, what are you most excited about the festival this year?
Oh, I'm really, so I haven't got to see as much of some of this stuff, but I know Poppy, I think, is really interesting, just in a film from New Zealand, and I think it has some ways of representation of intellectual and developmental disability that I think can push the envelope in ways that means to further pushing of envelopes around not just intellectual disability itself, but race and gender and other and sexuality as one of those things that could be a sort of a stepping stone to even further depictions that have sort of this more three-dimensional appeal.
That's great. And David, what are you looking as a filmmaker? Is this your first film, I think I remember?
This is my first film to make into a festival. So this is number five, short film number five. So I've been pushing towards this. So yeah, this is number five.
Well, that's pretty good, though, to have your number five make it into a festival. Mm-hmm. What kind of inspiration are you looking for, or where do you hope this takes you as a filmmaker?
So I want to continue. I want the opportunity to continue to tell more stories. So it's exciting that I'm in a portion where I just finished writing my first feature length script. So kind of hoping to be in a position where we can make that. I want to go back to basics. I've always been a big sucker for love stories. So like your When Harry Met Sally's, 500 Days of Summer, all that. So this is kind of the next one is kind of like my getting back to basics and just being, I want to tell just like a love story on like a grand scale, but that feels like Cincinnati because that's, I mean, that's where I've lived a lot of my life. And that's, well, that's the context for a lot of my experiences around love. So I kind of want to just like tell that story because, so basically, hopefully to be able to present that. And also, I'm just kind of excited to just be there, to just be in it, because there's been so much work, not by just by myself, but like an amazing group of collaborators, because Our Baby Knows was not a solo effort. There were a lot of people that put a lot of work into this. So that's the thing that I'm excited for, is just to like be there with the team, and not even just the team, my friends, and say, hey, guys, look, we did it. This is us. And hopefully we'll be able to present the next one to somebody that can say, hey, go make it, so I can take my friends and go make more movies. So what I'm excited for is to watch movies and the opportunity to make more movies.
That's great. And TT, tell us more about some of the details, the nitty-gritty of the film festival. What people who are listening, they're thinking, I might want to check this out. What can people expect to experience, and how will it work?
Well, you know, at the end of the day, it's one of those things. I'm excited about the idea. This year we have a breakfast series, as a matter of fact, that will kind of kick things off. We'll be doing that Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it's an opportunity each of those mornings for me to sit down with the visiting filmmakers that are here supporting their films, to have a chance to talk to them, but not just me talking to them, but we will have an audience there with them at the Art Academy. So people will get the chance to say, hey, okay, I saw this filmmaker talk about their film or talk about their experiences making their films. And they'll say, well, wait a minute, maybe I want to go check that out. You know, that sounds like a great story. There's a tease in there. And then hopefully they'll have the opportunity, if they see that filmmaker on the streets, to be able to say, hey, I saw you at breakfast, or I saw your film. Thank you for coming. It was a great experience. You know, those are the kinds of that's what I want people to get out of this whole process. So we are trying our best to come up with ways and opportunities to take what's up on that big screen and make it a little more accessible for folks. So like I said, the breakfast series is part of that. We're going to have some parties. We're going to have an opening night and a closing night party as well. As a matter of fact, we're going to have, for closing night, we're going to have a band, the Ophelias, that will be playing. And I have to put in a personal plug in here because my son is the drummer for the Ophelias.
Oh, wow.
So I'm excited. They have music in our closing night film, which is, as a matter of fact, that film, Never Better, was written and directed by Julianne Fox, who is from Cincinnati. She graduated from Walnut Hills, went to college, studied film, got the opportunity to make this film, and she submitted it to us, and we accepted it, and it's our closing night film. So my hope is, for closing night, people who remember her from Walnut Hills will come down to the festival, see the film, enjoy the party, see the Ophelias, and again, like I said, make it so that we can, again, kind of embrace this in a different way. It is not about stars. It's not about that big, larger-than-life kind of image that's up there on the screen. I want people to be able to kind of pull that down and make it a little more accessible and engaging for them.
Yeah. Well, we have details about how to get to the website for the film festival on our website on wvxu.org. I encourage everyone to check that out. I've been talking with film critic and Over the Rhine International Film Festival artistic director T.T. Stern-Enzi, Cincinnati-based writer, director, comedian, and filmmaker David Chimisuro, and director of strategic operations for Living Arrangements for the Developmentally Disabled, or LAD, Jason Harris. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Assistant producer is Nick Swartzel. I'm Lucy May.